And welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rory, and I'm doing pretty well today. I've been suffering from a bit of a hangover, so, you know, I'm pretty happy to just get on here and just cure my hangover issues with chilling, and I'm just having a good time, you know, trying to help with my issues with my hangover, and I'm happy to do that on here. And, yeah, joining me?
Jazzy, it's been quite a hectic few days because we're in like in the middle of like this massive storm, so like today was probably the first day in like 5 days I've left my house because the weather's just been horrific, and it was very nice to just get outside and go for a walk,
make the most of it before we get locked down again.
Yeah,
lockdown 2, electric boogaloo. Hi, it's Rosie. I'm doing pretty well today. I have been observing conflict in one of my other spheres of the internet, which has been exciting and frustrating because I live for the drama, but I also have very strong opinions on what the drama is about. So, sex work Twitter, stop being shit. Not that I think anyone on sex work Twitter listens to this podcast, but if you do...
If you're a sex worker, let us know.
Oh my god. Tim here. I'm back again. Being sporadic as usual. not much today, though. I've been heading to the shops because I really do not want to go out anymore at this rate. Yeah, I'm only going to go out for food. Well, to buy food if I need to. Then that should be it. You know, my parents are NHS workers. I don't need to give them any trouble.
Very true. And you know what? We also salute your parents as well for everything that they're doing for us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Give to Tim's parents for making Tim here.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, it was Tim time from the get-go.
This is a Tim's Parents Stand podcast. Yeah.
Oh dear. So this week's episode of the Eurovision podcast is another year, so we're delving back into the archives, and this time we are going to go all the way back to 2008, which was held in Belgrade in Serbia after Maria Sharifovic's win in Helsinki the year before. The tagline for the show was the confluence of sound, and I think that's definitely what we got, 100%. Whether or not you think that was a good thing or a bad thing, that remains to be seen. 43 countries actually were able to take part, which is the first time that we had an amount of countries so high, and it's since been equaled in 2011 and 2018. So that's a good thing to start off on, for sure. And it was won by Russia and Dima Bilan with Believe. So just to kind of kick things off a bit, what do you make about 2008, like as a year in terms of song quality, like the show, everything like that?
I can start this off. For this one, I think the production value improved a bit. Obviously, there's a few issues arising. You know, of like, oh god, will the protest go ahead because of a turbulent time around that time in Serbia. So luckily enough, the shows went through and, you know, everyone was all safe and it all went through smoothly without much hiccups. So for me, I think the quality of the show, like in case of like pyrotechnics and LEDs, it looked really sleek. And it was something like, it was like the era of like, okay, we can test stuff and see how it goes kind of thing. So it was a great year for pyrotechnics, though. Like, especially with like Sirusha and Kele Kele, it's like pyro left, right and center, and so did Azerbaijan, and I can't remember on top of my head, but there's a lot of countries with pyrotechnics, that's for sure.
Yeah fire.
2008 was the year for yeah fire.
I think it's a good show. Like, I enjoy quite a few of the songs from the final. I would say it's a little bit I don't know if it's like the right word to say. The posting was a little bit what, like, a little bit too professional. I didn't necessarily at times get a sense of fun. It felt like it was like quite strictly very professional, and that's fine, but I do think I prefer my hostings to be, have a little bit more sense of fun about them. Although I will say I did like that they cut now and again to like the parties in Serbia. I don't think we've really seen that again since, so I did like that. But yeah, I did think it was a little bit too, not, I wouldn't say wooden, it was just very professional, and there wasn't so much, as many like jokes as they usually are. And sometimes I know sometimes jokes are really, really bad, like in 2017 and 2015, and so I guess it's an improvement on those, where the hosting quality is just poor in general, because I don't think here that was really the case. I do think the stage is really nice, and 2008 is one of the years where I think the contest started to really elevate from being quite a small affair to quite a big, massive stage show. And I do think for a first time hosting, and with everything that was going on in Serbia at the time, they did really, really well with everything that was thrown at them. So overall, a good show. Have tiny criticisms, but like, there's been worse. So
For sure, yeah.
I think 2008 for me as a year, I think what I can say about it is that I genuinely couldn't remember if we'd done this for Eurovision again when I came to actually trying to work out what my top three was to discuss on this podcast. Some of what's on there is really sort of quality, and there are some great songs, but it's surrounded by 2007 and 2009, both of which are such incredibly strong years. And I feel like 2008 sort of fades into the background a little bit. I find quite a lot of it, it's not bad. I just find it a little bit immemorable. The one thing I do really, really, really like about the production this year is the postcards. I think they are fantastic. I think they're so much fun. And I really love that sort of literal concept of the postcard, where you've got the people sort of like as if they're actually writing home to their families, and you see them writing in their different languages and talking about whatever they fancy, while you've got the dancers or the performers making the flag in some way. And I think that's really lovely. I thought that was really fun. So that, absolutely love. The rest of it, yeah, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't standout good either.
Yeah, I do really like the postcards. Like, I do love that, like, it's just written in their own language.
Mm.
And then I like it for Serbia's, like, for Serbia's postcard, they had a postcard written in every other language that was partaking in Eurovision. And I do think that was a really, really nice touch.
Mm. Yeah, that was really lovely.
And I think as well, like, the postcards, they were very ingenious in the way that they were done. So, like, for example, like, the Swedish postcard, that was the one they literally just threw blue and yellow paint at each other. And that was, like, I thought that was so interesting. That was, like, a really good way of doing it. And then as well, you also had, for Turkey, you had people, like, baking the flag out of strawberries and bananas and stuff. And I think that's so interesting. That would be one of the absolute highlights for 2008 for me, actually. Myself, personally, 2008 for me was a bit of a lull, I guess, in the quality. And definitely, at least in terms of the songs, the actual production of the show, I didn't actually mind. If anything, I actually wanted more. So, for example, like, the stage, I thought was a really lovely stage. Although I was kind of surprised by how small it is now. Maybe that's just because we're kind of in comparison to other like years that we've had now, because it looks quite compact, and so there's a lot of like space for people to sit. But there's not a lot of performance space, so it was a bit, oh, okay. Like Jazzy was saying, I mean, I did like Željko Joksimović and Jovana Jankovic as the host. Like, I thought, like, they, like how you said, Jazzy, like, they were professional, but maybe to a fault. But yeah, I mean, they did their best. And of course, this was like the first time that Serbia was hosting a Eurovision event as well. So of course, it was going to be, an interesting go of it, really. Fun fact, though, Jovana Jankovic and Jelko Joksimovic are now married, and they have a couple of kids together. So, hosts have babies, children.
when a host and a host love each other very much.
a little host, and 9 months later, the host baby comes out. But I think overall, it was an all right go for the first time. And especially like how you guys were saying in the climate, like the political climate that was going on in Serbia at the time, again, I think it actually was pulled off pretty well. It's just the songs for me, because for me, 2008, I see as 2008 felt like it should have been 2002 or something, in terms of the song quality. But I'll get into that a little bit later.
Controversial, because I really disagree with you there.
Oh, well, interesting.
Really like 2008.
Time. This is, of course, it's me and Jazzy that have to disagree on something as well.
But usually, like, it's either we're really in agreement or we really disagree.
Yeah. Do you know what? At this point, I think it's even funny, like, for even just to us to decide, or even just to find out. It's like, even we don't know what we agree and disagree on. But let's do our top three. So who wants to kick us off by telling us their third place? No one? Do you want me to... Will I start?
Start.
Go for it.
Yeah? Okay. Okay, so basically, my third place, it's a song that... I mean, you may not necessarily have remembered it in the final because, you know, the final did have some very strong ebbs and flows. But I kind of really enjoyed this song. I thought it was very sweet, and you definitely wouldn't get anything like it in Eurovision now, but I personally thought it was really lovely. It's Croatia with Kralje di ulice and 75 Cents with Romansa, and I really love this because it's so like Parisian meets like Venice meets like Croatia, do you know, like it's such a mix of things. And then of course you just have the rapping granddad as well, just like scratching on the gramophone, just like, you know, everything that we need. I just really liked it. I thought it was really sweet and really pleasant. It's just a shame that it just didn't do as well in the final as it did in its semi-final, because in its semi-final it came fourth, but in the actual final it only came 21st. So what happened?
To be fair, 21st is quite a good result for Croatia nowadays.
Well,
I'm definitely not gonna say that's a bad result for them.
Well, apply cold water to the burn area.
Ooh. Anyway.
Honestly, I love that song. I think it's great. I think it's so much fun, and I feel like you summed it up really nicely when you said that it had a sort of Parisian vibe. I thought, yeah, it just, I really liked how they did it, and it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just, like I said, I just don't think you'd ever get anything like that in Eurovision now. Maybe it's just because, like it's a product of its time, but, like, I don't know.
I feel like it would be more likely to be taken as a joke now, and I don't think it was.
No, I think it was just, like, I felt like it was, like, the awe moment.
So.
Like, I'm surprised, like, with the granddad, with it being quite different for Eurovision, I'm surprised, especially as it was televoted only back in 2008, it didn't do better than 21st, so I thought, something like this maybe come around 15th, just because seeing, like, someone older on the stage was something completely different for Eurovision, especially in the noughties. A lot of the participants were quite young. Should I go on to my third place?
Yes, do.
Go for it.
My third place is actually a non-qualifier.
Okay.
It is Switzerland, Eres Stupendo. I don't think this is necessarily the contest for me that's made me fall in love with this. I heard it like throughout the years a lot on ESC radio, and it's just a song I absolutely love. And I like how like it starts off as a ballad and then becomes almost quite up tempo and quite uplifting, and I just really enjoy that. And I enjoyed seeing Italian in Eurovision again, because I think prior to this it had been a while, because obviously Italy were not competing in Eurovision at the time. It's just such a really nice song, and it literally translates to "it was wonderful." And aww. I just get a sense of joy from this song, and I just really enjoy it. And it absolutely should have qualified.
I think I remember it was supposed to have been like a bit of a fan favorite at the time, so... What happened for it not to qualify then? Because I thought the performance is actually pretty good.
It came 13th, so I'm just thinking, is this a typical people not voting for Switzerland thing?
I want Switzerland to do well. Come on, like, how hard is it?
Although, I think for at the time, in terms of Switzerland, I think it actually did pretty decently. Because, like, they weren't qualifying before this, but I think they weren't qualifying with a lot worse results, so...
True.
It was a step in the right direction that they came 13th in the semi, but...
Still. I mean, like, we just need to treat Switzerland better, okay? Like, I want to go to Switzerland.
I mean, Switzerland has my favourite Eurovision song of all time, so... I like Switzerland.
Yeah.
So my number three is, I kind of found it a bit difficult to choose between my number two and my number three in order. So I'm going to just pick one, but they are somewhat equivalent to one another, really. And they're quite similar as well in sort of atmosphere and feeling. So I'm going to say that my third place is Oro by Yelena Tomasevich and Bora Dujic. Such a beautiful follow-up to Molitva, such a beautiful host entry. It's really sort of dark and atmospheric. It's got violins, and I'm a sucker for a violin. And I just think it's just sort of the Balkan ballad personified, and I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's such a good song. I love it. And not to mention as well, you know, Jelko Joksimovic actually produced the song, and then he also doubled up as a host as well. So he had kind of two different roles there as well.
Uh-huh. All right, then. Well, my third place, I did change it at the last minute, but only the guys know that because we were talking about finalizing our list. So I did vote for this at Eurovision again, but I had a change of heart since then. So my top three is now very, very different. But my top three, oh God, I'm going to get a hate for this. But with a high, high, ho, with a high, high, hey. Pirates of the Latvia. I mean, let's just say that I have a lot of bops on my top three. And for this one, I chose this one because it was very unique on its own. I didn't think of it as a joke entry, like, based on our, you know, what classifies a joke entry episode. But for me, I just like the fun field of it. And I like the high energy that the performers gave. So that's why I chose it within my top three. But I will say this, though, as a fact. Ever since then, it took them till 2015 to qualify after that. It was a fun, but then it became a curse because they didn't qualify since then. But I have no regrets about my choice.
Honestly, iconic.
Like, we went through our tops prior to the podcast, so Tim will also know this was an honourable mention for me, but it just missed out.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping quiet.
It is up there.
Yeah, Rory's just like, yeah, I better be careful with my words.
It's like, we need to talk about your life choices, Tim, okay?
Oh my God, here we go.
Dear. Right, so, second place time. I'll kick us off this time again. My second place It's one that's already been mentioned, and for me, I think this is so impactful. I think it's so it's just the perfect telling of a story, really. And it is Oro by Jelena Tomasevic and Bora Dugic from Serbia. I kind of didn't really like it at the start. Like in the original kind of season, I thought it was generally kind of overhyped. But kind of since, kind of obviously, this is that, like, 2008 was my second year fully watching the contest, so I didn't necessarily understand the whole issue with it. However, since kind of, you know, maturing into a proper ESC fan, I realized actually, no, this is a fantastic way of showing your music, your culture, and she delivers it perfectly. I don't think there's I think genuinely that the whole performance is flawless. It's just that there's one song that I really just prefer more to this, so yeah.
My second place is a former winner. It is Charlotte Pirelli, Hero, Sweden. Okay. This was my first place for the longest time, but something overtook it. I just adore this song. I think it's just a bop, and I'm so, I was really sad when I found out that there was a jury vote, and that's the only reason it qualified, because I think this song deserves so much more than 18th place. I just love it so much, and I think it's one of those songs that even when I wasn't that much into Eurovision, I listened to and have had on my playlist for years and years. So I think, again, I think this is just one of those songs that from childhood has stuck with me. I don't know, it's one of those that's quite timeless for me, although a lot would say, yeah, this isn't Sweden's best entry. You've never included Sweden in your top three before. Why are you including it now? I'm like, because I want to.
Yeah.
I think short and sweet with that one.
Okay. I think, Hero is, the song that everyone just loses themselves to, when it comes on at, Euroclub or any kind of Eurovision night, just because it's so, it's so of its time. But it's also, such, not to be, stereotyping or anything, but, to me, I just see it as, a proper, just gay banger.
To me, it's, if you put, Sweden, typical, Swedish music from the noughties, and this, it's, you just know, this is, a song which you know is from Sweden. You know it's a banger. And it's, the schlager that they brought, sometimes in the 90s, so it's a modern take. And I love that.
It is a really fun song,
and I do think it's their best song of the decade, of that decade anyway. It was a bad decade for Sweden anyway, but...
well, true.
How times change.
I know,
exactly.
I'm hoping that 2020 can kind of switch that back again, though. But if you want to hear my rant about that, listen to our Sweden episode.
So my number two, and like I say, this is kind of on par with my number three, and they're both sort of big female atmospheric type epic anthem-y ballady type songs, is Senhora Doma by Vania Fernandes. This is Portugal at its absolute finest. I think it's just so mythical and ethereal, and that sort of chorus of backing singers is so powerful, and her voice is amazing, and I really, really, really enjoy this song. And again, it feels very timeless. It feels like it is the sort of thing that I could hear in Eurovision today, and I don't think it would be received as well, because tastes have changed and times have changed, but there's something that's really sort of classical and beautiful about this that I really, really like and still really, really enjoy listening to.
Definitely, yeah. I love the the fado type of style of singing. It's so lovely. I just wish that people gave it a little bit more love in the final, because I think it, like, it nearly won its semi-final, and then it only came, like, 12th or 13th?
13th.
Yeah. So, like...
I've got the Wikipedia page up while we record.
As usual. I'm just quite surprised that, like, you know, if when it came, like, what, like, second or third in its semi-final, and then just a bomb... how it did. Now, to be fair, this is Portugal that we're talking about, so they'll take anything that they can get.
Nothing's a surprise with Portugal at this point.
Well, yeah. We talk about that more in our Portugal episode, if you want to listen to that. Look, shameless self-plugging at this point. You know, it's fine.
Hey, Tim, what's your number two?
Oh, you know what? I've been thinking, because... originally, somebody mentioned I would have had a number two, same number two as another person in the group, but I've had a really hard think about it, but I've had a change, and it's still a bop, so I'm just going to say that Charlotte Pirelli is now an honorable mention, but my number two right now would be, they didn't make the final, and I'm really pissed off about that, because you know what happened? They came 10th. And on that note, then my second place is, oh God, what's the name of the actual act? I'll sound like an idiot if I don't say it. I was gonna say, like, I don't need that on this podcast. Okay, where is it? Tamara Vukak and Adrian, and let me love you. Oh my God, it's the Balkan bop that we needed on that final. Like, of all the years for North Macedonia for not qualifying, why this one? This was such a bop as well. And when I saw the staging, I was like, oh God, Tamara's vocals are always so flawless. And what's really bad is that because they didn't make the final, I keep forgetting that Tamara was actually there.
I mean, look at Valentina Manessa, child. We always remember her. Same thing.
Yeah, but Valentina did it for 3 consecutive years, so it wouldn't be surprising. Tamara had, like, what, an 11-year gap.
True, yeah.
And she's changed from 2008, 2019 quite a lot. And, you know, she's now an important person in the North Macedonian's Eurovision history because of the fact that she now holds the best result for the country. So... imagine the pull you have on that country. That was okay, if you go and return again, you're gonna have to find a way to top that, because that's such a title to hold. So, you know, hopefully if she does come back, I want to see her go back with a bop again and hopefully give another great result for North Macedonia, but who knows. But still bitter about this not making to the final, like, so much.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Tim has kind of just taken the wind right out of my sails here. Because my number one for 2008 was also North Macedonia. But I really like that song. I think, like, it's definitely, like, the 2000s kind of banger, like, bop. That was, like, R&B mixed with, like, pop. It was, like, and rap as well. Ugh. I mean, it was a bit of a hot mess, but I think they pulled it off really well. I thought they did pretty well. And then, like, as well as that, I mean, we literally, yeah, it did feel at points where it was, like, okay, this is a bit, like, pit bully. But, you know, Mr. Worldwide, It's the same thing, you know. I really liked it. I thought it was, like, really, like kind of hard-hitting, sexy, sultry. And, like, her vocals are, like, so good. I don't really understand how, like, no offense to Jazzy. I don't really know how they could have picked Sweden over this, because, you know, Macedonia kind of pulled it out the bag a bit better than Sweden did, but this is also the first time, as like, out of 2 times as well, that Macedonia accidentally got cheated out of qualification, because the following year, the same thing happened again with Finland. So Jazzy just likes to pick people, like, pick people that she likes. Like,
sorry to any of our listeners that I just had to burst out laughing.
Oh, no, it's fine. But, yeah, no, I just love the song, and people should stream Let Me Love You for Clear Skin.
Is it even on Spotify?
Maybe we should get, a campaign going. Like, get a Twitter campaign being, like, Let Me Love You on Twitter. Or on Spotify. Yeah, Jazzy, who's your number one?
My number one is Iceland, This Is My Life, Euroband.
I knew it.
This isn't just my favourite song of 2008. This is probably my favourite song of the noughties.
Oh, wow.
It's just typically me. I just adore everything about it. Like, it's just such a banger. It's so fun. God. And I think I had this awakening during, like, the Eurovision again, 2008. I was thinking, there isn't a song in the noughties that I like more than this. And for Iceland, it did pretty well. It came 14th, so pretty good result for them as well. And absolutely deserved. Think it deserved better. Yeah, I just really, really love this. Some people say for 2008, it's a little bit dated. Maybe it should be like 2005, 2006. But I really like the music of that time. And I think this might be a nostalgia thing for me. But that kind of like Euro dance beat type of music, I really, really love. Yeah, again, a song that I absolutely adore, and it being purely based on nostalgia. Music at the time I would listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, before we started recording, we were kind of hinting to each other who our number three, number two, and number ones were. And my first idea for Jazzy was that it's definitely going to be something N-dubs. And I was like, if it wasn't Iceland, I thought it was going to be, it would have just been wrong. Like, even if your number one wasn't Iceland, I would have made your number one Iceland.
Like, I think knowing me, you had to know it would be Iceland or Sweden.
Yeah, to be fair. But it's a good song, though.
Yeah.
So my number one, we are going in a slightly different direction. And when I mentioned to Lewis earlier that we were going to be doing 2008 as our podcast today, we were talking about what our memories were of that year, and I mentioned this song, and he described it as the Robbie Williams / Tim Minchin spooky Mormon hell dream we didn't know we needed. And I think that says it all, really. My number one is Day After Day by Elna and Samir from Azerbaijan. And it's absolutely mad. And I love it. It's rock and opera, and the staging basically looks like what I do on my non-lockdown weekends. And honestly, I love it, and I'm here for it, and I think it's just so much fun, and it's so different to anything else. And I'm just going to keep talking so that Tim's groans can't be heard in the background.
You know what? I'm looking at my top, and I think I've underrated it.
Oh no, I hated it. It's dead last. It's literally in the bottom.
Yeah, but Tim also hates Midnight Gold, so Tim is tasteless and needs a COVID test.
That's very true.
Like, in my top, it's 14th. But I'm like looking at songs that I've got below it, and I'm like, oh, actually, maybe I have that bit too low. Maybe I should put it in my top 10.
Men doing so.
Yeah. See, for me, like Day After Day was, up until Skeletons, the only song from Azerbaijan that I like.
So, Rory, taste. Absolute taste.
So I can, get behind you on this Day After Day hype train.
It's not my favourite debut entry, but it's not far off.
Ooh.
Okay.
Visionary Dream does top it.
Okay, I will let you have that. Because Visionary Dream is a babe. Okay, go on, tell us.
No pressure here. But yeah, I will cause some political stir at this rate.
Oh, okay.
Because it's fun. I'm going to say is, I'm going to come, Kelle, move, Kelle, because my number one is...
Kelle!
Kelle! Like, yeah, my number one is Sirusho and Kelle Kelle. Like, literally, it is such a fun performance. And remember when I was talking about pyrotechnics earlier on, and, like, literally, they just used the budget for, like, pyro. Yep, that's another, that's one of the reasons why I love that performance. Like, ket, and then, like, pyrotechnics galore, left, right, and center. And also, of course, the bob. Like, it's an endless bob. And I remembered when Sirusho did the remix of the song, and she performed it at Junior Eurovision when Armenia hosted it in 2011. I was like, why didn't she send this version to Belgrade? I think you would have gotten third. But right now, as I said early on, Sirusho holds the placard for, like, being the best artist. Oh, the artist who has the best result for Armenia in the adult contest. So I'm quite happy about it. And it's the best song, one of the best songs in Armenia has sent. So, but I do wish that, you know, if Sirusha does end up listening to this, that she does come back, because we all deserve another Armenian bop. Come on.
True. But the thing is, like Armenia does send good songs. It's just that some people like sleep on them. So... I mean, not recently, though. The last one that was actually kind of... I'll save my opinions for an Armenia episode. But, yeah. I mean, Sirusho, Kelle Kelle is, like... It's just that ethnic bop that gets everyone dancing, and I love that.
It is a tune.
It is a good song, though. It is a good time. And, I mean, not to mention as well, I mean, just that moment where, like, she just goes and she just starts, like, shaking her tits. It's like, yes. This is what we need.
Give the gays what they want.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Oh dear. But so just to kind of like wrap things up a bit, who if Serbia was to host Eurovision again, what can they take from the 2008 contest in terms of, you know, hosting, postcards, song quality, if you can monitor that or whatever?
Maybe show more a bit about your culture in the postcards. I mean, as much as I love the connection of it with the artist, it's also nice to maybe have a bit of both, kind of like with what Israel did for 2019. Have it about the artist, but still show off what you can experience when you can visit Serbia. Just a little, you know, feedback, nothing too biggy here.
Just relax a little bit more. I think now that they've done their first hosting, I feel like it'll be easier for them to do that. But you put on a great show, and yeah, like I say, a lot of it wasn't necessarily the most memorable, though I think a lot of that was probably a lot of the songs. But I feel like now that you know that you can put that show on, you can pull off doing something that is so spectacular that you can just sort of chill out a bit now, and you can have a bit more fun with the hosting, and you can have a bit more fun with the postcards and things like that. And yeah, I think that should be a good thing that they can do.
I think I would agree with Rosie, where just have a little bit more fun with it. I understand, like, this wasn't just their first time hosting, it was literally their second time competing as an independent country, which is amazing that they won on their first try. So I understand why it was a little bit too professional. But I think now that they're in the full swing of the Eurovision bubble, I think they would be able to have a little bit more fun with the hosting. And yeah, I think it was a good hosting. I think in between 2007 and 2009, it was always going to struggle to be the most memorable Eurovision. But all in all, they did a good job.
Yeah, I think like, there are definitely a lot of positives to 2008, as in, like, you know, the way that, like, Serbia welcomed everyone, and I thought that was lovely. If anything, I think going forward, yeah, like, loosen up a little bit and just make everything bigger, because...
Bigger!
Yeah, just make everything bigger! Because, no, I genuinely think, because, like, the stage itself was fine. It just needed more. Like I was happy with what I got, but I wanted more. So, if, like, you're kind of on the right track, just kind of give the people what they want, essentially, is the main bottom line of it. Although, keep the idea of the postcards, though, because I really do, like, appreciate those postcards. They're actually quite good. Because they were also the first time that we actually saw anything to do with a flag in the country, like, of the country taking part, since, like, at least before the 21st century. So, that's a great start, you know? So, just keep going from there, really. But, yeah, so do you have any sort of final points on 2008, just before we wrap it up?
San Marino should have qualified and Andy Abraham should have done better.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't
even Andy Abraham was fucking robbed.
Like, I'm even if it isn't a brilliant song, I came to the conclusion it was better than last place. I just think it did. It was better than that. It was better than that. It deserved better than that. I just came to the conclusion that disco was probably just never going to do well in 2008.
Which is weird, because then look how well What's the Pressure did, like, 8 years later. How tastes change.
But, like, I thought for the genre that it was a good song. It was just that nobody wanted to vote for the genre itself.
I'd possibly go even further and say that he was probably one of the best vocalists of the whole year. His voice is so good, and the public are tasteless, and maybe this is one of the reasons why juries came back.
Well, yeah.
Imagine if the juries voted for that, and it would be like, oh god, we're in the left-hand side of the scoreboard.
Honestly, do you think
I would have preferred that going into fifth place than Jaejeon.
Like, I don't think it would have been, like, a fifth placer, but I do think the juries would have given him credit for, one, his vocals, and two, for the genre that it is, the song is pretty good. And I do think juries do take that into account. And sometimes the public won't. The public will sometimes just discredit a genre in general just because they don't like it or it's dated. So I do think he would have done a lot better had juries been around back then. I don't think it would have been, like, a top 10 or anything, but maybe 15th, 16th. And I do think that would have been a decent result for the song.
Bilal Cheeky Cheeky came 16th. I'm just saying.
Oh, like, I literally watch that song and I get angry because it's literally so bad. I'm just like, and especially because in the noughties, Spain are one of my favourite countries. And then from Bala Chica Chica, it kind of just all fell apart for Spain for a lot of years post that. Although I will say 2009 is a really good song and deserved a lot better. But yeah, Bala Chica Chica is one of those songs because Spain are one of my favourite countries, and noughties just makes me angry.
Because it's like 2008 is such a weird year because you've got about half the countries trying to be Molitva and you've got about half the countries trying to be Dancing Lasha Tumbai, and none of them are quite getting it right.
I do think Latvia got it the most right with the Dancing Lasha Tumbai.
I would agree. Yeah. But then you've also got Leto Svet and you've got Irlande du Zapoir.
No, I like Irlande du Zapoir. It's not in my top 10.
Spot for it, but I can't say I like it. Like, I recognise it's not good, but I do kind of have a bit of a soft spot for it anyway.
See, as an Irish person, I'm asking you to stop standing.
Eastern Europe, we love you. Do you like Irish stew? Or goulash, as it is to you. Iconic, best lyrics of Eurovision.
Like, yes, I love Ireland. Ireland are one of my favourite countries in Eurovision.
Oh, God. Right. So, yeah, that takes us to the end of this episode of that Eurovision podcast. I'd really like to thank Tim, Jazzy and Rosie just for delving through the archives and, you know, coming into the confluence of sound that, sound, quote, in air quotes, that was 2008. Yeah, so in the meantime, please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at that Europe podcast. We're also on Spotify as well, so please do, and Apple Podcasts as well. So please do follow us there so you always get notified for whenever a new episode comes out. And yeah, in the meantime, well, like in the next couple of weeks, we'll be having a few more countries, but then also maybe a couple of other surprises as well for you. So, like, stay tuned, okay? But yeah, shall we all say goodbye?
Bye!
Bye.